are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. Today, Reggie discusses the state of disconnection that is prevalent in modern society and the unique spiritual imperative facing modern people. He explores how unique the Buddhist journey is at this time and how we can discover our own Buddha nature afresh in each moment through the felt sense of our embodied experience.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Crestone and to Dharma Ocean, and I feel a lot of excitement about the work that we're going to do together and the friendships that we're going to form. Many of us, I think, will be doing this for a long time, and I feel we've been gathered here for a reason, and it has to do with our own journey, and it has to do with the world situation right now. In human culture, as we know, spirituality has always played a very important role, and spirituality or religion has always had two faces. You know, one side is spirituality is about the life force itself. It's about what we are in our core. It's about the energy that brings us to be born as humans and the call that we have to fulfill as human beings. Everything in creation has a reason for being. Every atom, every molecule, every star, every galaxy, every acorn, every tree, everything is here for a purpose. And the purpose is nothing other than to fulfill itself and what it is. And as humans, we're no different. And there is an inborn call to each one of us as humans to fulfill what it means to be a human being. In the recent times, as you know, in the history of our species, as populations grew after agriculture was developed, you know, 10,000 years ago or so, we began to organize into very highly complex societies, which were very different from the way in which people lived previous to that for the previous, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And the end product is that the more highly complex societies are, the more limited the people who live in them in terms of their self-understanding, their possibilities, their relationship to their own lives. And during the last 10,000 years, spirituality has been a way to go back and recover the wholeness that is lost because of, overly complex societies that are really inconsistent with who we are as humans. You know, it's never been part of our genetic setup to live the way we do today. But religion has another side, which it becomes in the service of control, you know, controlling people and having them fulfill their particular bureaucratic roles within agricultural societies. And so we have come to see religion often in our own lives as problematic and as far from tapping us into the sources of our being as cutting us off from those sources and setting up more systems of patriarchy and hierarchy and justifying inequity of rich and poor and justifying war and, you know, all of it. But still within the human being there lives a flame of life that never really surrenders the possibility of wholeness and never surrenders the possibility of fulfillment as people. And we live in an age now where the way in which we've been doing things doesn't really work anymore. And it doesn't work on a personal level. It's estimated that 50% of the world population is clinically mentally ill at this point. I mean, it's not a good situation. And it doesn't work on the level of families and villages and societies, and it certainly doesn't work in terms of the planet. So we've kind of hit the wall, all of us. And, you know, humans are extraordinarily sensitive beings and very aware. And we as a species now are starting to respond to the fact that the ways in which we've been doing things are no longer viable. And so where do we look? Where are the answers found to tap back into the sources of life and spirituality and being? Where is that found? And as many of you know, I mean, a lot of you here are spiritual practitioners. Actually, we have to look back to ourselves. And we have to realize that all of the creative things that have ever happened in human culture have come from people. All of the changes at times of crisis have come from people. And that within us are all the resources of what we need to be. Our created nature as human beings is like a blueprint. And the more we look into ourselves and the more we begin to trust ourselves on all levels, the more we're going to actually find the way through. And first we need to do it personally. In other words, we need to cultivate a kind of open-ended relationship with our own state of being. And we need to begin to listen to the very deep and vast wisdom that each one of us contains within us. And it really is in every cell of our body. There are no answers outside anymore. I mean, none of the things that have worked in the past are viable. Our only choice is to look back to ourselves. And in fact, if you look at the great transitions and thinking of the Buddha himself, he came to the conclusion that the only answers were to be found within his own experience and his own state of being. And he eventually basically separated himself from all of the given answers. And his enlightenment was nothing other than realizing that everything that was needed for his own life and for his people was already within him. And it was a matter of uncovering it and discovering it. So we're at a point now, all of us here have had a great deal of experience of all kinds in our lives, you know, in our relationships and whatever we've learned, that spiritual practice. And but we're at a new point now, and we have to look forward. We can't look back anymore. And it's interesting that the teachings of the Tibetan tradition, and particularly the more advanced somatic practices, give us not answers, but they give us a key to unlock ourselves. And that's what this bodywork is all about. It's about us gathering together as peers. There's nobody here in this room that knows what your journey is and needs to be better than you do. And we're not in a situation now where people can come in and sit on high thrones and dispense answers. It just isn't, it's not that way. We are returning to an earlier time in human history when every human themselves held the full lineage of what it means to be human. Each human holds it in their heart. And the whole notion of organized religion, which is very, very late in human history. I mean, prior to 10,000 years ago, there were no organized religions. The previous hundreds of thousands of years, maybe a million years, there were no organized religions. That's not how people did it. The way you live life is by being born, growing up in a culture, being given answers by your parents and your society. And again, we're talking about very small groups of people wandering around and, you know, joining together periodically with other groups. And then at a certain point, when you become an adult, you go through an initiation. And the initiation is that you have your own direct relationship with reality. You have your own unmediated relationship with what this world is and what your life is and what reality wants from you as a human. And other adults don't mediate that. You know, you actually, and so to speak, hold the lineage yourself. You hold it. And that's the job of the human, to realize that all of the plenitude of what it means to be human is already here. And we uncover it, and we step into our adult role, and we make our own journey, which is unique. No one else is making the same journey. We have our own relationship to reality, which is unique. And everything that we've ever wanted unfolds in us. Of course it should. I mean, what does an acorn want? It wants to be an oak tree, and it gets to do that. And humans are the same way. Given the right causes and conditions, we have not only the capacity, but the duty to realize all the dreams of childhood and all of the intuitions of how beautiful this world is and all of the love with others that we want to express and feel. The reason we have all these feelings is because that's who we are, and it's who we must become. So in the in the work that we're doing here, we in some sense we are tapping back into what humans have always been, and we're doing that because there's no other way anymore. We have to go back to our sort of foundations. And I think this was realized, of course, in some sense it was realized by the Buddha very much, and within the Tibetan traditions it also very much realized in the yoga practices. By yoga, I mean working in a somatic way with one's spirituality, approaching spirituality as a somatic discipline, not as a mental discipline. So we'll be, in many cases, going back and finding places where we've gotten stuck in our own development. You know, we'll be going back and finding parts of ourselves that are very shut down, parts of ourselves that feel unloved, parts of ourselves that feel disconnected. All of the possibility is in our body, and also all of the blockages are in our body, all of the places where we have not been able to grow fully as people, where our confidence has been undermined, the natural confidence of the human person has been shut down, where the natural joy of being alive has been smothered, where the appetite for life, wanting to experience, longing for relationship, knowing how to engage instinctively with the world that we live in, and meeting our experience as opportunities constantly to become more and to experience more. All of those aspects of ourselves are natural parts of who we are, but because of what we've been through in our lives, all of us, because of the many assaults on our tremendous sensitivity as humans, and the relationships that where we've gotten the wrong message about ourselves, and people who have said they loved us and don't really love us have not really loved us because they couldn't. You know, all of these things are superficial disturbances. They're not fundamental. One of the things that we learn through the Buddhist tradition, especially the Tibetan tradition, is that there's no fundamental damage to the human soul. It's not possible, actually. The human soul, which means the body, is never fundamentally damaged. And any of the things that we identify as our traumas and our difficulties and our psychological problems, these are all superficial coverings. They're superficial impediments to realizing our own fundamental healthiness and fullness and joy in being human. This is called the Buddha nature. And Buddhist tradition is, it's kind of heavy. It has all these texts and all these commentaries and all these different languages. But a lot of it really, it all pretty much circulates around this point that our natural perfection as humans, which isn't, you know, it's not a big deal. Oak trees are perfect. The stars are perfect, and so are we. That natural perfection is always there. And no matter what happens to us in our life, including death, that natural perfection is never disturbed or compromised. So the purpose of practice really is to begin to take off these layers of, you could say, trauma. I mean, that's the language that we use now. And through removing these layers, we begin to come into our own fundamental non-traumatized state of being, which is a very joyful and open and free state of being. So the work itself is, of course, as you know, because you know everybody here has been doing work one way or the other, the work is challenging. And we were called to be willing to open ourselves to the difficult parts of our psyche. And one of the things we know, you know, from the Tibetan yoga tradition and, you know, frankly, from a lot of the somatic work that goes on in Western culture, is that when we are willing to experience ourselves and our own pain openly, without trying to divert it or shut it down or offload it or medicate it, or distract ourselves from it, when we're really willing to be with ourselves and our experience, and we're willing to have moments when we do feel cut off and experience those really fully, then they're resolved. They're resolved. Chogyam Trungpa, who's the gentleman on your right in the picture, he always used to say, the way you resolve karma is very simple. You have to actually experience your own life. And whatever traumas, whatever terrible things happen to any of us, and you know, a lot of terrible things happen to all of us through the course of our lives, whatever those may be, first of all of them are present right now in our experience, so we don't necessarily have to go back and, you know, find out everything that happened. And the second thing is our experience itself continually offers us an opportunity to resolve karma. And our only problem is we turn away from it all the time. We turn away from what actually comes up. We're not willing to be present and experience our lives fully. But when we are willing to do that, and the body, working with the body is the way in Tibetan tradition and also in this lineage, how that's done. When we're willing to remain open-hearted in the face of everything that we go through and to abide in our bodies and be here and experience our lives fully and be willing to see the shadows and be willing to see the sunlight. Be willing to be sorrowful and be willing to be joyful. When we have that open attitude towards our experience, then our whole life changes. And all of a sudden, our journey becomes at the center of what we're doing as humans. And that in and of itself is an incredibly joyful experience to be open to one's own life and to see it beginning to unlock and unfold. In modern culture, we've developed, all of us, many, many mechanisms for shutting down. And a large part of what we're doing in the somatic practices is we're beginning to let those go and really to fundamentally to open up. Now, to do it, we need to tap into our own strength, our own courage, and our own confidence. And that's also a lot of what we do in the body work, is learning how to tap in to a much deeper layer of who we are. And when we can rest in our own openness, our own freedom, and our own health, our fundamental health, then working with the dark parts isn't that big of a deal. I mean, it's not that hard. We can do it. When you try to work with the dark parts without being tapped into the depths, it's hard because you don't really have anything to rest in. So part of the body work is working with the darkness, and part of the body work is learning how to abide in a much deeper layer of who we are as people. And again, that's the approach, you know, within the Tibetan yoga traditions.
This teaching was taken from a longer talk Reggie gave at the April 2009 Meditating with the Body retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado. to download the complete teachings from this retreat, and to find a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org/store.